Well, I won't take a bunch of your time, Lowell. I just wanted to talk with you a little bit to, you know, get the ins and outs and so on. But certainly a huge achievement and huge accomplishment, you know, for you. And what a great event it's going to be coming up on April 17th at the Sioux Falls Convention Center as you are being inducted into the South Dakota Hockey Hall of Fame. And the class of 2026 has six people in it. You and, of course, Greg Swanson as well, posthumously, will be awarded that. And, you know, Lowell, I wanted to just chat with you a little bit. And I've known you for a while, and I know how involved you are with hockey and how knowledgeable you are. And I wanted to hear from you about what it means, you know, to be enshrined, really. But also, I wanted to hear a little bit about how you got started. So when did you really get involved from, you know, playing, officiating, you know, in whatever aspect it might be? What was the catalyst? What made you kind of get involved and get interested in hockey from the beginning?
Well, I was a hockey fan back in the 70s, and when we lived in Minnesota, my youngest son, Jeff, was born there. Stu's cousin played hockey, and we went to the Met Center where they were practicing. His older cousin was a peewee, and we moved back to Aberdeen in 1980. And Chip came up to me and said, my older brother Chip, Greg's dad, said, hey, Greg's going to play hockey. Does Stu want to play? Well, sure. Stu wanted to. And they wound up playing that first season together. Greg was 2 years younger than Stu. And it started off on the outdoor rinks, you know, back in the day when Dad shoveled the rinks off to resurface it. And it was all outdoors. And I guess we had kind of had a dream of playing indoors. We heard over in Minnesota that, and actually in Huron, they had an indoor rink.
Yeah, the Hippodrome.
Did you play?
I did.
You played in that?
I did, the Hippodrome.
It was Valhalla back in the day because they had indoor refrigerated ice.
Yeah.
And they weren't at the mercy of the weather.
Yeah, no doubt. When you got, okay, so Stu's going to jump, I'm not going to say he jumped between the pipes right away, but, you know, he started playing goalie and stuff, and Greg, of course, then went on to do great things with the state championship run, and, you know, the amount of people on, you know, on his day, or Swanee Day, as I like to call it, at you know, ODI Center and so on. That, you know, you hear from so many people that have been touched by coaches, by players, by captains, by officials, by whomever it might be. At some point down the line during their hockey career, there was somebody that was an influence that really kind of helped you learn about the game and so on. And with your, you know, getting Stu involved, did you go in to the sport and as a dad, you know, basically just kind of not really knowing a whole lot about it other than the fact that, you know, from a fan's perspective, how did you become an official?
I graduated in 1969 from high school, and the sport started here, I think, in 1970, 71. Jeff Sven was one of the first Aberdeen Cougar goaltenders, a prominent attorney from here in Aberdeen. And a bunch of those guys, Rick Gehring and Kerry Mertz, were some of the early guns, the Janus boys. Played on outdoor rinks. The Weigel brothers, Tim and Steve, lots of those guys. John Gernon, who's one of my all-time favorite outdoor hockey players. He played for me as a non-trad college student for Northern's club team when I coached up there. And I didn't know the first thing about hockey.
It's so interesting to me that, you know, you went from you know, being thrown into the mix, being a fan, to a son and a nephew playing, to coaching and officiating, and it just snowballed for you, didn't it?
Well, on the outdoor rinks, I was handed a pair of figure skates and a plastic jersey and a whistle that said, referee this youth league game. I made it through two periods, and I was literally dragging myself along the things because I hadn't skated since I was a junior high, early high school student, you know, on the outdoor ice. We didn't have rinks back then. And skated on the Mog. And it just, as a measure of need, I was elected state president of the South Dakota Amateur Hockey Association in 1983. I was president for 3 years. I was elected on the premise that started the year before when at a high school game, the high school coordinator was running around with a plastic jersey and a whistle say, "Here, you got skates, referee this high school hockey game." And I went, "What? Come on. There's got to be something." And so we started the South Dakota Hockey Officials Association in 1983, along with Rick Gehring, Terry Mertz, the Janus boys. Later had help from Brent Mansheim out of Brookings, Donnie Meyer out of Watertown, and the Bergmans out of the Bergman boys out of Huron. And of course, the very first one that I knew of, when I ran, there was only one registered official in the state. That was Mike Ball from Huron. There might have been others, but I wasn't aware of any other ones. And so that was the motivation behind starting the Officials Association. Terry Mertz and Rick Gehring were our first supervisor of officials. They went to the Olympic Training Center in Marquette, Michigan, and became certified training instructors. Later recruited Mike Rieger and Bruce Palmer. And I'm trying to remember their name. From Brookings, two brothers there that helped out. Of course, we were lucky to find Brian Rice. He was refereeing USHL games, and he came over and helped us out in the Sioux Falls area. And Brian's dad, Verdell Rice, was a longtime Bantam coach for Huron, and he was what we named the Verdell Rice Bantam Memorial Trophy after.
Okay.
Verdell was a terrific guy and named him. Bruce Bergman, who was being inducted with me in the Hall of Fame this year too, actually built or co-built the Dakota Cup. And it was meant to be symbolic of a supremacy in South Dakota varsity hockey. And he did a marvelous job that's lasted for a long time.
No doubt.
And of course, Bruce was the god of all ice makers. he was the guy everybody went to talk to. And
well, it's an art form. That's for sure.
It was finesse with him. I tell you what, he was a guy we really looked up to, and he's highly respected.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got a little bit about your start, how you got interested, some of the early days, the people that were instrumental, and how you got going along. And of course, as I mentioned, things just snowballed from there. Your involvement got to be more and more, and, Stu continued to play and spending a good chunk of life, a good chunk of time involved and invested in a sport and giving back to it in many ways, with time alone,
it was unique, Jay, though. It was unique because you could go and be with your kids,
yeah,
and participate in the sport.
That is very true.
Referee, yep. my kids' game, but we were always there with them. A hockey parent is. I hate to call them helicopter parents, but they got to be there, to get them to practices, to get them to the games and so on and so forth. And it was just something we did together. I mean, we learned how to tie skates together, learned how to put equipment on, get there on time. Stu, as a 15-year-old, was drafted by the Seattle Ironmen out of the Western Junior Hockey Leagues. It was decided that maybe he was a little bit too young to go.
That's tough.
We didn't know about the Canadian method. If you ain't gone by the time you're 15, you ain't going.
Right. But, that Western League's a tough one, too.
And Stu wound up going to 2 years to the USA development camps, one in Lake Placid, Minnesota for a camp, and then in Marquette, Michigan the following year. And, okay. He had some good experiences. He played in that Junior C National Tournament that we hosted, and there were a lot of time spent together.
Yep.
I really got to give credit to my family for enduring, because my wife just stopped going to the games that I refereed because of course, you know, you make 50% of the people happy and you make 50% of them unhappy. And
that's the way it is with most things. I mean, I don't care if it's at the racetrack or wherever you're at. If you're an official and you're making calls, some people are going to like them, some aren't. That's just the way it goes.
One example, if I may quote Jay, is that there was a player that went to check another player. The player sidestepped him, and he went headfirst into the boards. We carted him off on a backboard. The parent of this injured player come running down, screaming at the top of his lungs, the eyewitness, the check of your behind, how dare we not call it? And we all looked at each other and wondered what game he was playing. Hockey is an emotional game, and you cannot, you know, let people's emotions affect your decisions. I never, in 21 years of officiating, I never jacked a coach. I gave a coach once, I told him to go to the locker room, and he came back and asked what I called. He was harassing my refereeing partner, Tom Tobin. Them two didn't get along. And so I just told him, I says, if you go to the locker room now, it's the end of the period. And he came back all kind of sheepishly and said, what'd you call? I said, I didn't call anything. I just told you to go to the locker room.
Okay.
And because the coach to me was the most important player on a hockey team.
Yep. He was certainly can be
the father figure.
Yep.
He was a father figure, and he needed respect. He demanded respect, and for the kids' sakes, he got it.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, I won't, in good conscience, use anything like where it says, oh, they didn't get along or something, because I just, you know, I don't want to bring up someone else's name or something like that, but I've got a good...
I'll be careful. I didn't say anything about the person he didn't get along with.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to let you know that I won't use every piece of this. There are some that I, you know, will use and some I won't. I just wanted to give you a heads up on it.
Just say my referee and partner or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then I just wanted to you know, basically what it means, you know, to give that time to the sport, and now later on in life to be recognized by the state as a whole, and the state of South Dakota hockey, of course, and all the people that you have been involved with in their lives and so on. What does it mean to you to be inducted into this into the Hall of Fame and be the recipient of this honor?
I am honored. I'm thankful for my family. I'm most proud of them. And I never did it for the recognition. It was just something we had to do. We all, back in that early thing, it was all volunteer. Everybody did it for the good of the sport. And the favorite phrase was people came back and coached and refereed to give something back to the game. And that's what it meant.
Absolutely.
If you could give something back to the game, you didn't need a pat on the back. You knew that you gave something back, and that was the personal satisfaction.
Well, another great opportunity for your family to show appreciation, but to celebrate you and your amazing achievement. So again, congratulations. I know I could sit here and talk with you all day about hockey, but I would absolutely love to hear what you've got to say on being in the class with him.
It was Greg was about having fun playing. You always saw him with a smile on his face, and he was just happy to be there. I put him in the penalty box once, and I always said I never met a player that thought he was guilty until I met Greg. And he inadvertently tripped a player. I took him in the box 2 minutes for tripping, and he looked up at me and he shook his head. Yes, I did it. Yeah. He was just such an honest individual.
He really was.
Everybody flocked to him. He was
amazing,
natural.
Amazing player, amazing guy. Congratulate you and him on a huge achievement. I appreciate
what a good chuckle before you go.
Yeah, of course.
My wife gave me one edict. I can't throw anybody under the bus.
Well, that's
I got a million stories.
I was going to say
some good, some not so good.
But yeah, isn't that funny? Over the years,
this guy from whatever team was picking on him, you know, just needling about every call he made or didn't make. And at the end of the period, I go, you can go to the locker room now. You know, what'd you call? Nothing. I should have called you 2 minutes for bad breath. But
yeah, you got time out instead, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, like
he
I
was,
say, with all
a good friend of mine at the Olympic Training Center, I heard a truism from one of the instructors.
Yeah.
John Robinson from Maryland. He said, "The best people I know are hockey people."
Yeah.
And through the years, that has proved true. We've talked about me, but it wasn't just me. It was a whole lot of people that I could go on and on and on and name names that I'm afraid I'm going to forget somebody, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And not name them, because it wasn't just me.
No, I hear you.
A lot of people supported this program.
Well, and again, there's like a long list of people that are involved with things and, you know, and had a role, no doubt. And I can relate to that, too, where you're telling a story and you're like, oh, man, I haven't thought of that guy in forever or whatever. But he was instrumental, whomever it might have been. And I can certainly agree with that, you know, that truism as well, because, you know, I've often said that there's a level of integrity, a level of respect and honesty in a hockey player that you just don't see in all other sports. And in my particular, and I'm biased, I admit I'm biased, but there's a good quality person you know, that's under that jersey, most likely. So I won't keep you any longer here, though. I'll let you go, but I do want to again congratulate you and thank you for taking some time to talk to me here.
Thank you for calling.
All righty, thanks, bud. Appreciate it.